coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Today here on Lutheran Radio UK with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann, we'll have another episode of Faith That Functions and see if we can't start to point the finger, so to speak, in the right direction. Our lesson is John 1, verses 29 to 42. From the English Standard Version, our text reads, "The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.' The next day again John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus." The blame game. We've all played. Yes, you have, and so have I. It's in our blood, that blood and nature handed to us at conception. Yes, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? I'm talking about Adam and Eve. I'm talking about all of us. "It's this woman you gave me, God. It's her fault, and so your fault for giving her to me." Genesis 3. Really? "It was the serpent. He tricked me. The devil made me do it. Why did you let him in the garden, Lord? It's the serpent's fault, and it's your fault." Really? "It's bad enough when your mother asks you if that boy who dared you, not even by a double dare, forced your arm into the cookie jar. But was it he who forced the deliciously gooey, chocolatey cookie into your mouth and caused you to chew and swallow? Because that's bad enough. I'm here to tell you, that was all you. But when you're facing an all-knowing God, well, shouldn't that make a difference? Don't we fear God? Don't we realize that he sees all and knows all? For some reason, this doesn't seem to really matter much for Adam and Eve, or their offspring, which includes us. We're still wicked enough to look for a scapegoat, even God himself, if we can. So the message of the law remains. How dare we? But I can't help it. No one's perfect. God began this whole mess called creation. I didn't ask to be born. I didn't ask for those two to be my mother and father. Maybe they should never have been parents. Surely none of you think this way, that it's just your bad luck, it's your lot in life, that besides, God was the one who made us this way. But did he really? Not only did God not make us sinful, but he has given us the means of grace to be reborn. We are able to live as saints by the grace of our baptisms. Yet we still do it all the time, don't we? Play this blame game. If only God gave me money instead of good looks. And the sayings go on and on. I think I've even seen t-shirts for little boys and girls either saying, "It's my sister's fault," or "My brother did it, not me." The blame game. Yet God asks, "What have you done?" He gives us a chance to answer righteously. But we reveal exactly where the blame should lie by trying to cover up our sin with more sin. The evidence for our shame is right before us. Perhaps like Cain, we reply, "Am I my brother's keeper?" knowing full well we've just murdered him in the next field. Yes, as a matter of fact, you are your brother's keeper, too. So what have you done? Don't point to the guy next to you, because you, me, each one of us are the last guy on the end of the line. There's no one else, no one left in this police lineup. So who's to blame for all of it, all of that, the mess out there in the world? Us. Yes, we are to blame. The sooner we admit it, the better. What about the mess in here, in your heart, in your life? For the most part, it's your fault. Yes, yours. The sooner you know it, the better. Now, about this time, the devil then comes along and is so glad to point this out and more, just in case you forgot, and we were trying to, in case you thought you were doing pretty well lately, at least for a little while now anyway. The devil says, "See that? Not even close. Do you remember yesterday? What about even this morning, right before getting into the car to come to church? Yeah, that little thing you did, you know what I'm talking about." Then he begins the list, those various unkempt piles, the really smelly stuff, the dirty little secrets, all that desire and coveting, the cravings, addictions and lies. The usual stuff, really. You know what he's talking about. We can't deny it. Adam and Eve tried. It was pathetic. Don't even. But you will, won't you? Who's it going to be this time? The train, the traffic, someone stopped you in the street. Darwin, lost your job, your girlfriend left you, you broke your ankle. I wonder if you know where the term scapegoat comes from. That one was actually made up by God. He actually created a rite that could help mankind transfer their guilt to something else, so that it would not burden their consciences anymore. It's kind of bizarre. I mean, how can this little animal, it was a goat, take away the sins of one man, let alone the whole nation of Israel? And what about us now? We don't have that same ritual anymore, do we? That's actually a very good question. The answer is that though an animal can't really do that, it was foreshadowing what God was going to do in Christ, because it is directly related to what God was going to do in the Son of God. It actually worked out as a temporary deliverance of sin and guilt until Jesus came and fulfilled the role of the scapegoat once and for all, who actually could take the sin of the world upon himself. Ironically, in a very real sense, we do end up blaming God. Our guilt is transferred to him, so that he can take the sin of the world upon himself for all mankind. But then we don't call it blame, we call it credit. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus. He is the one the Old Testament church was waiting for, what all this bloody sacrifice in the temple was all about. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus. He is the one that all of creation was waiting for the full payment to be made so that the sons of God would be revealed by and through the new Adam, thereby bringing about the restoration of all things, making his creation even better than the very good that it was. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus. And this is what the whole New Testament church is still about, and is what is to go on here today and every Sunday. God could not be clearer. We're not asking for forgiveness because someone else has sinned. We're asking for forgiveness because you have sinned, I have sinned, we have all sinned, and not just because someone else made us do it either, and we were certainly not created to sin. We simply need to fess up or confess, repent, for all that we do and for what we've left undone. It's my fault. In doing this, we need to see that it is important to admit our faults so that at the relevant time, that sin, now confessed, is allowed to be blamed or transferred to someone else, God himself, as a scapegoat. This is what does everything for the guilt and the consequences of that guilt. We need to remember and have faith in the fact that someone still had to pay for sin. Yes, and we all know this. We all trust this. This is the kind of stuff that is built into the universe itself. It's called justice, and God is just. I mean, not just that he does just things. He is justice itself, himself. Because of this, justice has to be met, or it would go against all of it. the universe would be undone. He would go against himself, his very nature, the fabric of all things. The film Dogma put this quite correctly. Apart from the whole putting God into a coma thing, it wasn't half bad. Of course, God would never allow this. Justice would never go unfulfilled. Mind you, even that would be more believable than the Big Bang Theory. For without reason or rhyme, there would be every point to a chaotic explosion. But then there would be no sense to intelligent design. But that is impossible, for intelligent design is the only kind of design that makes sense. And so we come back to the beginning. God is this way. In a sense, he cannot help it as much as we cannot help who we are. We are the creature, he is the creator. We are the redeemed, he is the redeemer. And so, in the beginning, God said to blame him. Yes, blame him as if he did all that was wrong and nothing was right. And know that this is not mere symbolism, not just empty words here. For behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus. We did. For he did as he said he would, and as he said, it is finished. This was and is real. He did die in our place as the scapegoat, all of our sin as his own. Yes, Jesus became our sin, and did not and still does not make a choice to ignore it. Dying for us once upon a time does not mean that today he turns away his head. It means he takes what we do even today to the cross. To ignore our sin would again be to let injustice rule. Everything we do still affects him as it affects yourself and your neighbor. As surely as it feels wretched to let someone get away with murder, does God feel our pain and waits upon his judgment throne for the last day, and yet has unleashed his wrath upon the Son of God on the cross for those who believe. Only God could have done that. It takes big shoulders to carry that burden. Even a small amount of guilt for God on behalf of the world becomes immeasurable, and so does his mercy compare. All the sin of all time, this requires the death of God, the one who was, is, and is to come, because it must account for every soul that was, and is, and will be, because all have sinned and have fallen short of his glory. Only one with so much life in him could do it. Only God has that much life. He did and he does still. It is finished. It was accomplished on the cross. Not even death could contain him, but justice has been fulfilled. There is no injustice left dwindling. There are no loose ends to tie up. All is done. Jesus' death was no mere token, but a full, for real substitute for all sin, as bloody and gruesome as it needed to be, all so that justice, in all that it is, was fully and completely met. So yes, we are to take our sin, all of it, and place it on his head, and send it with him into the bleak and desolate place to die, outside the city wall, to the cross of Calvary. And then leave it there, for in him, on him, yours, yes, and mine, our sin is laid. All of it was laid, and so all of it was paid, with justice served right there and then. That is why Jesus came, for no other reason than to be the Lamb of God who takes away sins, your sins, my sins, everyone else's sins, to make them his, and then to take the blame. This is what God did for you and for me. He gladly accepted the blame, so we won't be blamed. He gladly accepted the eternal consequences so we don't have to. He was willing to die so that we can live. So fess up. Confess all your sins. You no longer have to look for a scapegoat. Jesus came here willing to be just that. No one is excluded. It's been accomplished. And so when the devil comes with his list, and he will, you just go right ahead and tell him it's all true. Yes, all of it, and remind him that there are even more he doesn't know about, since he is not God. So to boot, you tell him you are in fact a whole lot worse than he knows. But more importantly, Jesus knows. He came for that very reason. and it's already taken care of. For behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann. I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales. You can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. I hope this message today has been just what you needed to, as I've said, point the finger in the right direction. If you want to hear more, tune in next week, as we are given further epiphanies from God. And to be more exact, why you can't put a lid on this light. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon on Lutheran Radio UK for another episode of the series Faith That Functions.